This is How You Find the Way. Beautiful day. It's Thea Gilmore playing your local Miskin radio. She is, I think it's fair to say, one of the finest singer-songwriters we have in this country. She released her first album back in 1999. And I was counting this last night. She now has 15 albums to her name. She's from Oxford. She's performed alongside Sting and Martha Wainwright. Bruce Springsteen uses her work as play-on music for his shows. And she's coming to Cadogan Hall with a brand new album to show off as well, a week today on the 27th of May. She joins me on the line now. Good morning, Thea. How are you this morning?
I am great. How are you?
even better. Thank you very much. I was just looking down the album chart this week, and your new album, called Ghosts and Graffiti, has gone straight in at number 39, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, that, actually, because I was not expecting it, I have to be honest. And if you look down the rest of that top 40, it's almost completely dominated by big label stuff. So we were really, really pleased to get in there. You know, I work with a record label with an employee ratio of 2. So we're a very small little operation, and we achieved a very big result. We're very pleased.
How did you manage it? Was it a lot of work to do that? How much work's gone into that album?
Massive amount of work has gone into it. I mean, you know, whenever you make an album, an awful lot of love and an awful lot of care goes into it. They take a long time to make. But also, you know, there's a lot of dedication from people who've followed me for a long time. You know, people who are, I hate the word fans, it always sounds so one-sided, but people who are patrons, I suppose, of my music, people who really care a lot about my music, and I'm so grateful for that. It's always such an honour to make music, to put music out into the world, and to know that there are people there who are sort of really interested in it and really waiting for it.
I guess one of the things that you've done is you've built a fabulous community around that music, and a community that's grown over time.
I've tried very much. I've been very lucky, really, because I started, you know, I've been doing this quite a long time. I started making music when I was 17, and it was a very different time all those years ago, because the internet, whilst it was obviously around, it didn't have quite the influence that it does now. So I was able to really grow my following from a grassroots level upwards, and then of course when the sort of technology advances came in, I was able to use them sort of as an established artist rather than trying to be a brand new artist. And it gives you a very direct communication with people who like your music, and that's invaluable, really, because I think, you know, big business mainstream really tries to disconnect you from the listener. It tries to sort of remove the artist as a person and kind of just basically sell you like a tin of beans, and it doesn't, you know, music's more emotional than that. It doesn't work like that. People need a connection. They need a personal kind of sort of, I suppose, just line to the artists themselves, so that they kind of know that what the person's about as well as the music, you know.
You started making music and releasing albums before we had the world of Twitter and Facebook. Has social media changed the way you make music and connect with your fans?
It hasn't changed the way I make music, but it's definitely changed the way I connect with people. It's much, much quicker to connect with people via social media. You know, I love being able to go on Facebook and just have a chat with people. It's just such a nice feeling. And, you know, you get, for example, last week when the album was just out, this amazing sense of kind of love and care and people who are passionate about the music. And that's a really nice thing for someone who makes music to feel so immediately. You know, way back when it was all kind of, you know, it seems laughable now, but we used to send mail shots out by the post. It feels ancient now, but that's how I used to connect. So it was so much less immediate. So I love social media. I do think it's made things a little more tricky sometimes for newer artists kind of coming up now, because that sort of groundswell of music is much greater now. So they're kind of, you know, maybe sort of clamouring for attention in a bigger sea these days. But for me, it's been really, really helpful.
I was looking down the list of tracks on the new album, and at first I thought, is this just a greatest hits album? Because I recognise a lot of the names, but then I realised it's actually much more than just a greatest hits album, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people have been trying to get me to make a best of for a long time, and I really don't like best ofs. I think that it's just a way of making dedicated fans go out and buy the same songs again, which always seems very unfair to me. But I do like the idea of revisiting music that I made when I was, you know, in my early teens or in my sort of early 20s. And because, you know, you go back and you listen to those songs and they're still relevant. You know, I listen to a song like This Girl Is Taking Bets, which I wrote when I was 20 years old, and it's still really relevant to me. It still speaks to me. It still speaks about me. But it's I like the idea of re-recording it in the voice of a 35-year-old now. So that's basically what I did with a lot of the music. And then there's a lot of new stuff on there as well, because I wanted the album to tell a story that wasn't just looking back. It wasn't just kind of harking back to the old days. It was also looking forward, because I certainly don't feel like I'm anywhere near the end of my career. I'm bang in the middle if I'm lucky.
I'm amazed how you've been able to keep turning out albums year after year after year and still making new music now. Is that something that comes very naturally to you?
Yes, it does. I've got a bit of ADHD, I think, really, when it comes to sort of making music. I get bored very quickly, so I like moving on to new things and doing new things. And writing has always been something that I just do all the time. It's never something that I have to sort of sit down and think too hard about. I'm constantly writing when I'm on the road, when I'm sitting at home, when I'm cooking at dinner. There's always a song in my head somewhere along the line. And I like being able to get that out into the world as quickly as possible. And, you know, some people would say that's folly. You need to give people longer to sort of digest the thing that you've just made before you move on to the next thing. And perhaps it is. But I guess I'm responding to the sort of artist that I am and that I want to be. And, you know, there are plenty of other artists out there who take 5-6 years to make a record, and that's okay too. But I don't like the idea of a one-size-fits-all music industry, because, you know, people who make music, people who are creative, are very different beasts. They're all different to each other, and we need to recognise that.
You've always brought other musicians into your work, but on this current album, you've got some special guests, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things when I decided to make this record was it was really difficult, because there are so many albums out. There are 14 albums out before this one. And there are a lot of songs out there, so I wasn't entirely sure which songs to choose, or even, you know, which songs people would want to hear. So I thought, well, I'm going to remove some of the burden from me, and I'm going to ask my friends. I've made a lot of, you know, amazing friends along the way and on my musical journey. So, you know, I asked them to be involved. So I asked Mike Scott from the Waterboys, and he pulled all the Waterboys in and he chose his track, and he produced the track completely. And I love that. I love that, you know, that song is on that record because Mike Scott wanted it to be there, because he thought it was worthy of being there. And I think that's really nice. And the same with a lot of the other songs. You know, Billy Bragg, for example, on the song My Voice, he picked that track because it was a track that spoke to him. It was a track that I wrote after the 2010 election, and it spoke to him directly. And so he wanted to contribute to that track. It's a lovely thing to have these amazing people, these amazing talents, and in certain cases legends, sort of contribute to an album and kind of contribute to the direction an album's going into.
You're in the middle of your tour at the moment. Is it Cheltenham tonight?
It is indeed, yes.
So are you there at the moment getting ready, or do you kind of dash down to Cheltenham in time for the gig tonight?
Not there yet, but we will be very soon. Yeah, no. I've got two children, you see, so I've got two kids at school, so there's a lot of juggling goes on. So I've just dropped my children off at school, and then we'll be heading down. But, you know, Cheltenham's not that far from me.
I bet. I have a daughter who, when I disappear off for work, she's like, why are you going? Don't go. And it can be quite hard to juggle those two. Do you think the family miss you when you're away doing these gigs, or do you bring them with you?
I bring them with me as much as I can, within reason. Obviously, my eldest son is at school, so I can't let him miss too much. But yeah, they come. It's completely every day to them, to be honest. They don't see anything special in the idea of standing on stage and singing for a living, and I like that, because I like the idea that it's not mysterious to them, that it's something that if they choose to, when they're older, they can do it. And if they want to, but it won't be this sort of massive deal that, you know, they won't have these massive egos about being able to stand on stage because it's all they've ever known. And I like that. I like children being around creativity and music at all times in their life. I think it's good for them. I think it's good for their development. And I think it's good for their sort of emotional development and emotional intelligence as well, really.
And I guess apart from anything else, it is another way of communicating, of connecting with fellow human beings, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we live in a world where direct connection is becoming less and less. And I think music is a beautiful way of really deeply connecting with people, because we are sort of emotional beasts, really. And I don't think that constantly staring into a computer screen necessarily reflects that. I think as soon as you pick an instrument up or start to sing, there's a connection far beyond words that goes on. And I think children sadly learn that less and less these days, because schools have less time to teach music, have less time to focus on the arts, and I love my kids being around it, and I'd like to bring it to more children, really.
How much of the album will you be playing on this tour? How much are you playing on this tour?
Most of it, actually. Most of it. That's the short answer. There's an awful lot of stuff in the album. There are some bits that we're pulling. There's a deluxe version of the album, so there are a couple of bits that we're pulling from that version too. There's songs from every bit of my career, from, you know, really old songs to brand new ones.
There's quite a range of different sounds on your album, a range of performers and instruments. And I wonder, how much of that are you able to recreate in your shows?
Well, actually, a lot. We have a string section out with us, which is great. And, you know, we've got a full band as well in London. We're not taking a full band to every show because some of the stages just aren't big enough, because when we have a full band, it's a 9-piece, so it's a big operation. So, you know, we're pretty much able to recreate everything on the record. There are certain things that I don't like recreating live. I'm not too keen on bringing loops and stuff with me, just because I think I like a live experience to be a more kind of human thing rather than something that comes out of a box.
The album is Ghosts and Graffiti, and you mentioned strings there, and there's a really catchy single on the album, Coming Back to You, right from the start, that has strings that just hook me right the way in. And I wonder, how did that song come about?
That's a kind of grown-up love song. You know when you're in your teens and you sort of think that love should be easy and fluffy, and you'll always feel kind of that lovely warm fuzzy feeling that you feel when you're in love. And then as you get older and life starts getting in the way, you realise actually loving someone is a kind of, it's a constant job, I suppose. You have to adjust constantly your expectations. You have to kind of completely, you know, rewrite really your opinion of love in general. Not that it's any less special, but just that it's more complicated. And that's a song sort of reflecting on, you know, a relationship that could easily have gone down the pan because you had old ideals about what love should be about, but actually it's worth saving.
And you'll be playing that, I hope, on Wednesday evening in London at Cadogan Hall.
We will indeed. I can't wait.
That sounds fantastic. Well, I hope that gig is a brilliant, storming success. I can't wait for you to come to London. I want to say thank you very much for talking to us here on Miskin Radio, and thank you for sharing some of your music with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. That's Thea Gilmore. And if you'd like more information, or perhaps buy some tickets for that gig next Wednesday at Cadogan Hall up in London, it's going to be a great gig. You can find out more info and you can buy tickets at theagilmore.net. But now here is that single with the string hook that grabbed my attention from the very beginning. See if this song doesn't get stuck in your head today. It's Thea Gilmore from the new album Ghosts and Graffiti. The song is Coming Back to You, and it plays your local Miskin Radio on a Wednesday morning.